some three members, and they'll be giving the testimony. I'd like to introduce the first one first. Viha will come and share how God has brought her out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Hi, everyone. My name is V, and I'm here today to share my testimony. I'm very nervous right now, but I want to share with you this passage, which, like, it helped to calm me down. Later, I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. This verse is just exactly describe my situation and how I become a Christian. So after my first year in America as an exchange student, I got into depression, which I think was the result of loneliness, homesick, and unable to adapt to American culture. It lasted for like 3 years, yet my friends and my family know nothing about it, since I always skip it from them. And things just really got out of my hands around summer 2008. I not only had to deal with depression, but other unfortunate things happened at that time as well. I went through a breakup, and a week later, I got into a car wreck. Then I lost my laptop and then my cell phone. That was pretty much everything I had at the time. Even worse, my closest friend at the time turned her back on me. And I told myself, now it can't get any worse. It would only go up from here. So be strong and courageous. The next thing you know, I lost my purse, all my credit cards, and I lost my glasses. So that is blind to me, literally. I was in complete despair, and my boss was the only person that gave me support at that time. I remember one day I went to work and just burst out crying. And my boss tried to comfort me and start telling me stories about Joe Biden and then Job, how God has blessed Job and then taken things away. I heard about God and Jesus during my exchange student year of life, but never actually believed. That night I went home and started reading the Bible. I thought to myself, what else do you have to lose? I read Job for about 2 or 3 chapters, and all of a sudden, I feel the peace deep in my heart. All my stress and burden was just taken away, and that I was strengthened, confident, and empowered to keep going. At that very moment, I know God is real and that He loves me and cares for me. That night, I asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. That's how my Christian walk starts. I no longer have depression. If you know me, really know me, and conceived me as a bubbly girl, then that's what God has turned me into. There are countless things that God has given me ever since I chose to walk with Him. Peace, protection, love, comfort during difficult times, friends, church, and how He has faithfully answered so many prayers out of His mercy and grace. My non-believer friend once asked me, does being a Christian make you a better person? Does it make your life any easier? I didn't really answer that, but later on I thought about it, and if somebody asked me that again, this is how I would answer. I was a jerk, and I think I'm still a jerk, but if you ever see any goodness in me, it all comes from God, and that I believe with all my heart that God has the power to turn me to the person that He wants me to be. I still think life is hard, regardless of you being a Christian or not. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we suffer with gladness, with hope, with love, and that by God's grace, Jesus' precious blood, one day we can be with Him in heaven, and that there will be no more pain and suffering. I was really hesitating at first to share all of this, but At the end of the day, it's not about me, it's about you and your relationship with God. I'm sure some of you are going through difficult times or in desperate need of comfort. And I just want to share that God loves you and God cares for you. No matter what situation you are in, there's hope and God can get you out of it.
For just opening your hearts. Jesus in this world to you and to us. I wonder how many of you have been following the NBA playoffs. A few of you guys, well, you know, I try to follow when I can't. You know, many experts are predicting that the Cleveland Cavaliers, that they would meet the LA Lakers at the championship game. It was such big hypes that were going on. And this week, as you probably know, there was a big surprise. The Cleveland Cavaliers were eliminated out by the Boston Celtics. You know, it's on paper, the Cavaliers appear to have the best team. You see, they got LeBron James, you know. The most valuable player 2 times. And not only that, their team had won the most amount of games, 61, more than any other team in the whole league. There's just expectation that they're going to go all the way. And you know, before the season starts, to just make sure they do it, they got Shaq, one of the best and greatest centers in NBA. You know, they just want to make sure they will be able to make it. Unfortunately, although they had great players on their team, yet they lost. They lost because the Boston Celtics played together as a team. They were a better team as a whole. And because of that, they won. The starters, as well as the bench, they all knew their role and what they're expected to do, and they carry out their tasks. And as a team, they were a much stronger team. Strong unit. As a result, they won the series. You know, in the same way, the church, we need to play as a team, together as a single unit, if we're going to make an impact in the world today. If we're going to get into the championship and win the championship. You see, every member must understand our specific role as part of God's team and how we contribute to it. You know, we've been preaching on the theme of connecting God through the church. You know, the church is the hope for the world, us. You know, in our individualistic society, we may not emphasize team effort as much. However, if the church is going to make a greater impact in a community, we cannot conform to the world's individualism mentality. Instead, we need to have an interdependence mindset. We must work together as a team. And when we do so, we'll see great things. Because team basically means together. Everyone accomplishes more. We got to work together as a team. In order for the church to be a vibrant team, We need to know what kind of people we are, and not only that, what our purpose is. As we do so, we will be a vibrant team. And this can be seen from our scripture today in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful and marvelous light." Believers in Christ, us, the Bible says that we are His chosen people. Not only chosen people, we're the holy nation too, and also a people belonging to God. You know, when God first created the universe, He had a specific plan to build His kingdom in order to for the world to know about God. He selected a chosen people to represent Him. He picked the Jewish people, not because they deserve it, but because of God's grace, that they were the holy nation. This word holy means separate, to be set apart. In other words, God's saying that you as a Jewish people are to be set apart, separate from the rest of the world. You are to stand out. You are to look different from everybody else. Because as you obey God, as you are committed to Him, God's going to do some wonderful things through you, and you will be a channel of blessing to the rest of the world. And then the world will be attracted to the God that you worship, and you are to represent the Lord. You know, it's a privilege to be selected to be God's people. You know, one of my best friends, John White, adopted a little girl, Abby, from an orphanage. You know, she came out of what appeared to be a hopeless, futureless situation into where John was able to give her hope and a bright future. And we see it in the second part of the verse that we just read, that we're called out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are chosen people, selected by God. Be part of God's family. That we're saved out of darkness into His wonderful and marvelous light. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second baptismal candidate, Philip Pan. And he's going to come and share his testimony, how God has brought him out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Life was just keep going. This point in my life was especially tough, with no job and no future. My plans for graduate school didn't pan out, and I felt lost and hopeless. It was a very humbling time in my life, but it made me vulnerable to God's presence. I spent a lot of this time in genuine prayer and reading the Bible. Not so much demands for a job or a school to go to, but rather asking God for His direction and His plans for my life. I did eventually get accepted to my first choice graduate program, but I've never forgotten that experience of feeling so empty in life. That was the point that I accepted Jesus as my Savior and let Him control my life. It's been a gradual process understanding my relationship with Christ. In the past several years, I've been blessed beyond what I could even ask for, and it's often made me pause to think how God is working in my life. These past few months in particular, I've been challenged, encouraged, and stimulated by people and events around me. During a recent English retreat, I realized that I'm just at the very beginning of my spiritual journey, and I haven't taken any initiative to move forward. I've had a teacher and my peers encourage me to get more engaged and not just passively show up on Sunday mornings. Currently, I've been learning a lot in Pastor Fred's leadership class and through my English study. I see myself changing a lot, and sometimes I worry I may lose my newfound desire for spiritual growth, but it just reinforces the importance of fellowship with other believers and quiet time with God. I'm constantly reminded by my everyday blessings where I've come from, both in my maturity and my spiritual life. And so for all this, I just wanted to show others how God works in my life. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. We are to be a good representative for God. Unfortunately, the Jewish people, as we look throughout the Old Testament, they didn't do a very good job representing God. And as we got into the New Testament, we see that God has chosen His follower, the church, to represent Him today. Not only are we, the church, God's chosen people, but we also read earlier that we are a royal priesthood. You see, in the Old Testament, only a few people, selected people, were able to be part of this priesthood. You need to be in the tribe of Levi to be able to serve as part of the priesthood that serve in the temple. You see, the people, whenever they had to pray and connect with God, they had to go before the priest to pray on their behalf. And when they had to get things right with God, they had to offer up an animal sacrifice to the priest on their behalf to God. And we see in the Old Testament that the priest seems to be like those professionals, the few selected that could serve God. But we thank God that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins once and for all, taking all of our sins away. That if we place our personal faith in Christ, then we are saved. We have access to God directly. We don't need to go through a priest like the Old Testament, because we have Jesus, that He represents us. You see, the Bible says through Apostle Peter that we as believers, all of us, we are part of God's royal priesthood. Notice in chapter 2, verse 5 of 1 Peter, it says, "You are also living stones are being built into the spiritual houses to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." See, instead, like the Old Testament, where one needs to offer up animal sacrifice, it says here, because we are royal priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifice. What is that? Spiritual sacrifices. We could see this more clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just we as chosen people that are adopted by the Lord to be His royal family, it says that we are to offer up ourselves as living sacrifice, that we are to be holy. Holy again, that word, set apart, be separate, be different from the rest of the world, that you stand out for God, that we to be holy and pleasing to God. See, God's called us to represent Him That we are to be obedient to God and committed to Him. And as we offer up ourselves to Him, our time, our talent, our treasures, to God, I understand all that You've done for me. I owe my life to You. I was condemned to go to hell, and now I can have eternal life. And I thank You for saving me. Now I could offer up myself as a living sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. You see, we're not only chosen people. The Bible says that we are royal priesthood. That means we are priests today. Did you know that? We are priests today, that we have an opportunity to serve in the church. It's not left to a few professionals. We are all, you, every one of you, are priests. Or in other words, let me just say, every member is a minister. You know, did you know, Michelle, did you know that you're a minister of God? Did you know that? Sure you are. And John, did you know that you're a minister of God? You are. Absolutely. And, oh, Teresa, did you know that you're a minister of God? We, you know, we are all a minister of God. And we thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to serve. It's not for professionals. However, somehow, not everyone has taken full advantage of that special privilege that we all have as priests, as minister of God. Why? Why is that so? Why is not everybody taking advantage of it? Well, I believe there's kind of three reasons. First, I believe that there's some people that come to church looking for ways as to, what am I going to get out of the church? What's the church going to do for me? Instead of looking for opportunity to give, we're looking at, well, what am I going to get? We have a so-called consumer mentality. I need these things for me and my family. If I don't get it, whoops, I'll just go down the street. It's easy to maybe complain at times. But it is much better to be part of the game. Instead of being spectators, we're to be participants. It's a great thrill in life when we partner with God and see what He can do in and through us as our coach. Isn't that a reason? Besides the consumer mentality, I feel the second reason is self-pity. Take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. We see here that on the second verse, it says, does the foot say to say, because I am not a hand, I'm not belong to the body? It would not be that reason cease to be part of the body. It's like, the foot is complaining. It says, well, I want to be a hand. Well, I'm not a hand. I'm not part of the body. You know, I'm not very significant. I don't have much to offer. You know, I'm just a foot, you know. After they even cover me up, you know. And I'm a nobody down there. You know, don't ask me to do anything, you know. You know, ask Nathan, you know. Yeah, he can play a violin, man. Well, I can't do that. I'm useless. I'm worthless. You know, I'm not flashy. I'm not visible. I get nervous when I get in front of everybody. Self-pity. Whether we are up front, visible, singing like these seniors, or behind the scene, we are all critical members of God's team. We are the royal priesthood. We are priests. We are minister of God. Every member is a minister. you know, for a long time, there's a false understanding between clergy and laity. Various times people elevate clergy as, oh, they're the spiritual people. They're the one that could do all the spiritual things. They went to seminary. I haven't gone to seminary. I can't do that. And we see some of those that are in laity would say, well, I'm just a lay person. You know, this perception undermines the value to the cause of Christ. Also gives them an excuse to be passive and not to be involved with ministry. The laity is robbing themselves of the joy of serving the Lord. You see, the Greek word for lay person, laikos, which means one who does not understand a particular academic discipline. In other words, this so-called lay person hasn't got this so-called training and specialization. The so-called lay person, laikos, is not used in the New Testament at all. You see, pastors or clergy can't do the work by themselves. We need to team up all together to do God's work, because this privilege is given to all, not only to a few professionals, given to all of us. Matter of fact, I'd like to introduce you to some of the people that serve in this church. Various people, maybe behind the scene, you might not even know they serve in different ways. And what I do, as I introduce you, if you just stand up, all right? No applause or anything, but I'll just show you what they do, all right? Matter of fact, you're going to see they'll probably just mingle all over the sanctuary here. They're just part of us, just regular folks. You know, because every member is a minister. We are royal priesthood. What Yaqing Bao? Yaqing? Yaqing serves as special need teacher. You see, she's part of God's team and a minister of God. Thank you. Irene Kwan. Where are you, Irene? Irene over there. Irene is our organist. You might not see her because it's hidden behind this big organ here, but she plays regularly for us. She's part of God's team. A member, a minister of God. Thank you. We have Jeff Chin. Jeff? Jeff is right there. You know, that big guy, he serves in the nursery. Yeah. And not only that, but he serves up in the audio booth also. You know, he's part of God's team and a minister of God. Minister Jeff. Call him that and you go out. We have Grace Chen. Grace, no one sings here, but she helps out in the library. Did you know we have a library? Yeah, we do. Absolutely. You don't know, ask her. She's part of God's team and a minister of God. We have Adeline Ng. Adeline's over there. Adeline is one of our greeters. She also helps us with the children worship. You know, she's part of God's team, a minister of God. With Daniel Kwan. Daniel, where are you? Oh, Daniel over here. You might not know this. Daniel is our regular drummer. He has a week off today. But, you know, a great, I mean, by far, he's our best drummer. You know, some of these other guys, you know, are doing a good job, but he's definitely our best drummer. You know, he's part of God's team. A minister of God, Minister Daniel. What? Lily Chu. Lily? Lily over there, she works and helps us in the accounting department and making sure everything is in order. She's part of God's team, a minister of God. And we have Ben Wong. Ben over there. Ben works in our audio upstairs. Ben is part of God's team, a minister of God. Andy Yip. Andy back there. He's a youth discipleship leader. Oh, well, some of the youth are, you know, discipleship leader, part of God's team and a minister of God. Joe Gore. Joe right here. Joe is our usher coordinator, doing a fantastic job. He's part of God's team and a minister of God. We have James Howard. James helps us with Christmas pageant stage, part of the stage crew. You might not notice behind the scene. Very important role. He's part of God's team, a minister of God. Minister James. We have Megan Chang. She's up there right now. Wave at us. She's our PowerPoint operator. You know, she's part of God's team and a minister of God. We have Edward June. Edward's over here. What are you? You know, did you know? He was playing our bass. You know, back there, boom, 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 you know. He's part of our team. We're just so excited to have some of our young people part of our worship team. And he's a minister of God, Minister Edward. Yeah, has a nice ring to it. We have Isaac Chu. Isaac over there. Isaac serves in the kitchen for many, many years behind the scenes. We're so grateful for him and others that works behind us. He's part of God's team and a minister of God. We have Sarah. Sarah's learned. She's been faithful in teaching. Please stand. She serves as a Sunday school teacher for children. Loves the kids. Prays for them all the time. She's part of God's team and a minister of God. We're grateful for many that are serving. And yet, maybe some of us haven't gotten to it yet. I want to invite you to join us. But a third reason why some people might not be serving is because of pride. Not only do we see consumer mentality and self-pity, but pride. Pride we see in 1 Corinthians 12:21. It says the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And pride could sneak in and could destroy a team. Sometimes people are not willing to relinquish control. Reluctance to empower others. And as a result, other people do not have the opportunity to serve. Some people think, well, you know, if I don't do it, nobody can do it, man. You know, they need me. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we might develop other people. And sometimes pride prevents us from equipping other people. And sometimes we might have this fear that maybe this new guy is going to come in and do a better job than me. Makes me look bad. Pride could hinder us from working together as a team. Well, you know, we are to serve together. We are. See, our purpose in life is really to serve God. If we are to fully be fulfilled as an individual, we need to understand why we are here. What is our purpose? Why God made me? It's not about us. It's really all about God. Noticing Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. See, everything is created by him and for him. Every one of us, whether we're young or old, we all want to do something significant. We want to be productive. And in order to do that, we need to understand who we are. We're chosen people. We're God's royal priesthood. We're a minister of God. We could do something very significant for God. There are many opportunities in our church, and particularly as summer is coming around the corner, to serve. And I challenge you to be part of something big as a priesthood of God. You know, make ourselves available to serve. That could mean all of us, including the youth, to serve in many different capacities. You know, I'd just like to highlight two things. During the summer, all of our teachers take a break in the junior department, youth department. They work hard, serving hard. And during the summer, we need people to step up to serve during those 3 months. It's a tremendous opportunity to serve. I encourage you to consider serving in the children's department or serving in the youth department. You see, the youth is ready to be shaped by godly people. Are you willing to be used by God to teach, to mentor, to do administration, or whatever it might be? I want to invite you to serve. It's not only enough to understand who we are as God's chosen people, God's royal priesthood, but we also need to understand that this links to our purpose. We see this in the latter part of our verse in 1 Peter 2:9. It says that, but you are chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him, call you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. We are chosen people. We are God's royal priesthood, so that this is the purpose. We are who we are, so that we can declare the praise of Him. God saved us and set us apart so that we can stand out for God, that we can represent Him well, that we can be able to draw others to the Lord because God has changed and done something significant in our life, that we offer ourselves as living sacrifice, making ourselves available for Him to use us. And that's our purpose of being here. It's not about us. It's when we understand our purpose and fully be available to serve God, that's when we will be able to enjoy life to its fullest. And may we as a church come together to be a strong priesthood. Every member is a minister. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're a minister of God. Yeah, you're a minister of God. When we serve God, we declare praises to Him. Let us get off the bench and get on the field. Instead of being spectators, let us be participants. But there is great joy in serving our Lord. Remember, we are all ministers. Every member is a minister. And together, everyone accomplishes more. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we thank You. We thank You for giving us the privilege to serve You. For it's just not limited to a few professionals, but we have the opportunity. And may we make ourselves available for You this summer. In Christ's name, amen.